The Random Jottings of Hinge and Brackett with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett. With Jean Haywood as Maud and friends and neighbours at Stackton Trestle in Up in Evadne's Room.
When Evadne and I first moved into the old manse, we made it a rule never to intrude on each other's privacy. It's a rule we strictly obeyed. Indeed, I've not set foot in Evadne's room since the estate agent showed us around the house in 1955. Of course, Evadne's room wasn't Evadne's room then. It was just the old pigeon loft. There were enough feathers on the floor for her to stuff a palliasse. But it was the rows of nesting boxes that really took her eye. You see, she'd never had fitted cupboards before. Mind, she's like a magpie, the junk she collects. One never knows what she's going to take into that room next. Which brings me to a day a week or two ago. I had just returned from a WI coffee morning, frightfully exciting, and I was sitting in the drawing room pondering one of life's eternal problems, whether to have a biscuit or wait until lunch, when Maud came in.
Excuse me, Dame Hilda, but could I have a word with you?
Well, of course you can, dear. What is it?
Well, you know, Dame Hilda, as I ain't one for prying into other people's affairs, nor for telling tales out of school. But I think you ought to know, as the doctor's up to something in her room.
Well, she's always up to something up there.
Ah, but this time she's up to something different.
Well, it is her room, dear. I mean, she can do whatever she likes up there. It's nothing to do with us.
I just thought as you ought to know.
All right, Maud. Well, what's she up to?
Now, you also know, Dame Hilda, as I ain't never been one for snitching.
Oh, do get on with it, Maud. What is she up to?
She's had a man up there.
All morning.
A man? What sort of man?
One of them two-legged sorting trousers.
Good heavens.
Exactly. Now, that's never happened before, has it?
Well, I don't suppose it's anything to worry about. It's probably just a rag and bone man come to give her an estimate. Is he still up there?
No, he's gone.
Is she still up there?
No, she's gone.
Well, I doubt they've gone to Gretna Green together. Her galoshes are still in the hall.
The pair of them was making some very funny noises up there, Dame Hilda.
Really? What sort of noises?
Well, for a start, there was a lot of tapping and knocking and banging about.
Banging? Well, I suppose the man could have been her clog dancing instructor.
Didn't sound much like dancing to me. They were all over the place.
Well, the doctor's dancing is all over the place. Oh, perhaps she's having some new touch of wanton luxury added to her room, like lino.
Ah, but that don't account for the bellowing.
The bellowing? You mean they were shouting at each other?
No. There was a sort of bellowing noise kept coming, a sort of, ooh, ooh.
I do hope she's not building a cow shed up.
Well, she were complaining yesterday that the milkman's always late.
Maud, I know you're not one for prying into other people's affairs or for telling tales out of school or for snitching, but didn't it occur to you to have a peep through the keyhole?
Well, of course it did, Dame Hilda.
And?
She's covered it over.
Well, sneaky old thing. Well, I assume you tried the door.
Of course, but it were locked. And what's more, the key weren't in its usual secret hiding place.
I didn't know she had a secret hiding place for it.
Well, she do. Not everyone's as open and above board as you are, Dame Hilda. Oh, and I tried that other little trick as you showed me and all.
You mean the one with the bent hairpin?
No. I mean the one where you lie flat on the landing floor and try to peer under the door.
Well, that usually works.
Didn't this time. She had her door done and all.
Really? What is she trying to hide? I mean, privacy's one thing, but obsessive secrecy just isn't healthy.
Mrs. Brent?
Oh, that's the odd job, man. Yes, Mr. Bissett?
I'm off to get a few more slates. I'll be about an hour and a half. All right?
All right, Mr. Bissett. He's come to replace them slates as blowed off last week, Dame Hilda.
Yes, I noticed his ladder was up there when I came. His ladder? It's right outside Evadne's window. Quick, come into the garden, Maud. Where the black night bat... It doesn't matter. Hurry up, dear, and we'll see what we can see.
Oh, Guy Milder, wouldn't that be spying?
No, dear, not if we're quick. I say, it does look a long way up to the doctor's window, doesn't it? Still, if I close my eyes and don't look down, I'll probably be all right.
Perhaps we should rope ourselves together, Dame Milder.
Well, I don't think so, dear. Anyway, that would be a fat lot of good if you're going to be down here holding the ladder.
Well, would you like me to come up behind you?
No, I wouldn't. No, you can go up instead of me if you like.
Oh, I'd not like to go up there on my own. There'd be no one to grab hold of if I fell.
Well, I'm sure it'll be better for both of us if you stay down here. Now, you hold the ladder steady. I'm going up. Close your eyes, Hilda, and climb. And she climbed the dusty ladder, on which fell no ray of light. Up and up, her white lips saying, "Curfew shall not ring tonight."
You're about halfway up there, Dame Milder. You're just about level with the bathroom overflow.
Thank you, Maud. Life is just like a ladder. Every day is a rung, so it's upwards, ever upwards, until my song is sung.
Just a bit higher, Dame Milder. You're nearly there.
I should jolly well hope I am. I'm running out of ladder.
Right. You're there. Can you see anything?
Not a thing. Her curtains are drawn. My goodness, that blackout material has lasted well. There's not in it. Right, I'm coming down. Hold the ladder steady, Maud. Maud?
I've sent Maud in, Hilda. I'm holding the ladder now.
Evadne.
What exactly do you think you're doing up there?
I'm cleaning the windows.
Don't you need a bucket of water and a chamois leather for that?
Oh, I haven't got that far. I'm just looking to see how dirty they are. Then I'll know how much detergent to put in the water.
I thought the window cleaner was coming tomorrow.
He is, dear, and heaven knows what he'll think if he sees the windows in this state.
Hilda, I'm giving you just 2 seconds to climb down that ladder.
Oh, don't be so ridiculous. A fireman couldn't slide down his pole that fast.
Hilda, I'm waiting now. Come down this minute.
Evadne?
What?
I'm stuck.
What do you mean you're stuck?
I can't move. You know that funny thing that people get when they can't go up and they can't go down?
Yes?
Well, I've got it.
What if Maud and I held a sheet? Could you jump?
It's no joking matter, Evadne. Mind, if you were to open your bedroom window, I might be able to clamber in that way.
But my window opens outwards. If I opened it, I'd knock you right off your ladder. So don't tempt me.
Evadne, what am I going to do? I'm stuck.
All right, then. Hang on. I'll come up and get you.
Oh, no, you're not giving me one of your fireman's lifts.
What do you want me to do, then? Call the SAS?
No, dear. Just call Maud to hold the ladder, and you go away. It's probably the fear of knowing you're standing there waiting for me that's brought this on.
Very well, Hilda. But you're going to have to face me sooner or later. So when you do get down, I'll be in the drawing room, waiting for an apology.
Have I been sent to Coventry, Evadne?
No.
Then stop fiddling with that music and talk to me.
I have nothing further to say to you.
You haven't really said anything yet.
I've said all I intend to. I'm just deeply disappointed in you, Hilda, that's all. One expects Maud to gossip, but one doesn't expect you to pry.
I've apologized.
And I've accepted your apology. So the matter is now closed, and there's nothing more to say.
Are you going to sulk for a long time?
I am not sulking.
Well, I think I'd sooner be shouted at.
Then you should share your home with a fishwife.
Well, I didn't expect to be sent to Coventry.
You have not been sent to Coventry.
I mean, you can hardly blame me for being curious. I bet you'd be curious if I'd had a strange man in my room, banging about and making moo cow noises. Well, wouldn't you? Evadne, I said, wouldn't you? There, you see, I have been sent to Coventry.
You certainly will be if you don't shut up. I'll put you on the bus myself.
I'll get it.
No, I'll get it.
Am I to take it? I am not allowed phone calls now. Suppose this is what they call loss of privileges.
Hello? Section 295? Yes, speaking. Oh, hello, Roland. What? Holy water. I haven't the foggiest idea where you'd buy it. Why not try the church? Well, wait till there's a christening on and then pop for a little bottle.
What does he want holy water for?
Well, it won't be that dirty, Roland. They don't totally immerse them. Though, whether it would be drinkable or not, I wouldn't like to say.
What does he want holy water for?
Oh, will you be quiet? If I were you, Roland, I'd go round and see the vicar. If you take a milk jug, he might let you borrow a drop. A recipe book? Well, why not pop round here afterwards? All right, I'll see you then. Bye now.
What does your little friend, Roland Quatermain, want holy water for, then?
If you must know, he's come across an old recipe for Bible cake, and he's getting his housekeeper to make one. Now, are you satisfied, nosy?
A Bible cake? I bet that's for the church social, and all I could think of was angel cakes. That man is such a show-off. Did I hear you say he was coming round?
Hilda, you are incorrigible. I've just ticked you off for prying, and now you're quite shamelessly eavesdropping.
Well, if you'd wanted me to leave the room or stick my fingers in my ears, you should have said so.
I would just prefer you not to bother yourself with things that don't concern you.
But a visit from Roland Quatermain does concern me. He might want to hear the song I'm going to sing at the social. He is arranging the program.
Well, what if he does? Is there a problem?
Well, that's just it. I don't know. There might be.
What do you mean?
Well, you may have decided you don't want to play for me because you're not talking to me.
Not talking to you? I'm talking to you more than I usually talk to you.
Then will you play for me?
With the greatest of pleasure.
Can we have a rehearsal then before he comes?
My God, you do push your luck.
Well, can we?
Oh, very well then.
Thank you, dear. Daphne.
What?
I'm glad we're friends again. You know, I think your playing is better now than ever it was.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm just being pleasant.
How very disconcerting.
So, now we're friends again. Shall I go and ask Maud to make you a nice cup of coffee?
Well, I'd like a cup of coffee, but whether Maud's capable of making me a nice one, I rather doubt.
Then I'll make it myself. I won't be long there.
Thank you, Hilda.
Doctor! Hello!
It's P&D, as you can see. We're here at the garden door.
And about time, too. Peter, Mandy, well, come in.
Thank you, Doctor. Come along, P. Do you want a hand with those cases?
No, I'll manage.
I've given you two up. I was expecting you hours ago.
There you are, P. What did I tell you?
What did you tell me?
I told you at the outset there was no point coming if we were going to be late.
Ah, but we didn't know we were going to be late, did we? Not until later. And by then it was too late.
Well, have you got everything with you?
We have, Doctor. It's all in these suitcases. That's partly why we're late.
Oh, don't start that again.
You see, P insisted on driving all the way over to Kirkling just to borrow a few things off chum of his.
Yes, and Mandy insisted on driving all the way back.
Only because I didn't want to be late. P's such a ditherer. We'd have been telling we got lost.
I didn't.
What do you mean you didn't? You were sitting right beside me. If I was lost, you were lost.
I was not. I knew perfectly well where I was. I had the map.
I know you did. That's how we got lost.
Anyway, what's done is done. We can't go home and come back earlier, can we?
No, but we could go home and come back later.
That's true. Would that be any help, Doctor?
No, it wouldn't.
So much for your clever ideas, Dee.
Well, now you're here, you'd better come up. And remember, if you bump into Hilda, mum's the word.
Right.
Here we are, Evadne. Oh, Peter, Mandy, I didn't hear you arrive. What brings you here?
Mum's the word, Dame Hilda.
I beg your pardon?
We're going up to my room, Hilda.
Oh, lovely, after all these years. I feel quite honoured. Now, what shall I wear?
Don't put yourself out. We does not include you.
What about your coffee? Do you want it delivered?
I'll take it with me. And you might ask Maud to bring us two more cups. Oh, and tell her that when Roland Quatermain arrives, she's to send him straight up as well. Right, come along, you two.
Well, hello and goodbye, Dame Hilda.
Yes, sir. Hail and farewell.
And you too, with knobs on. Maud?
Yes, Dame Hilda?
Goodness, you were quick. Where were you?
Just lurking about.
So why do you reckon them two's taking them suitcases up, Dame Hilda?
Well, it did cross my mind for one dreadful moment that the doctor might be taking in lodgers.
Oh, it never did.
Well, just for a moment. But I immediately realized there's not room in there to sling any more hammocks.
Perhaps she's been having some bunk beds built.
No, those suitcases were obviously heavy, and I thought I could hear things rattling about in them.
Ooh, were? Perhaps it's swag. Silver plate and such.
Well, I hardly think so, dear. Even I can't see those two as successful cat burglars, and the doctor as some sort of Fagin. Oh, I don't know, though. But I'd love to know what she's up to all the same. No one, not even myself, has ever set foot across that threshold.
I say, Dame Hilda, look.
What?
That Mr. Quatermain's coming up the drive now.
Right, Maud. You go and fetch some more coffees, dear. I'll let Mr. Quatermain in myself. Through the garden door.
Oh, you're a wily one, Dame Hilda. The doctor'd have to get up early to catch you with your knickers down.
I jolly well think she would.
Roland, you can come through this way, dear.
Oh, thank you. And a very good morning to you, Hilda.
Good morning. Well, sit yourself down. Make yourself comfortable. I've asked Maud to bring us some coffee.
Oh, that's most kind of you, Hilda. Is Evadne about?
She is, dear, yes. But I'd like a little word with you first, if you don't mind.
About the church social, is it?
No.
About the concert program?
No.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, it's about Evadne.
Ah. And might one inquire where she is?
She's up in her room there, with Peter and Mandy Moore.
Then if you'll excuse me, Hilda, I think I should go straight up.
Oh, no, you don't. Not until I've finished with you.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, you needn't look so worried. My intentions are perfectly honourable. Had they not been, I'd have offered you something a little stronger than coffee.
But I'm sorry, Hilda, I don't wish to appear discourteous, but Evadne is expecting me.
Then Evadne is going to have to lump it. And I warn you, if you try to make a bolt for it, I shall trip you up and lock the door.
I must say, Hilda, I find this violent streak in your nature somewhat unexpected. One can only assume you acquired it through stomping the stage for so many years in the guise of some Wagnerian warrior maiden.
I did not stomp.
I assure you, that was not intended as criticism. I'm sure it's very difficult to do anything but stomp. with a spear in one hand, a shield in the other, and a winged helmet jammed on your head.
Difficult, perhaps, dear, but not impossible.
Hilda, much as I'm enjoying this little conversation, I really must ask you to let me go.
Not before you have answered two very simple questions, Rowland.
Hilda, I am not playing pig in the middle.
I would never dream of asking you to. I consider it a hateful game. No doubt, because at boarding school I was so frequently lured into playing it with real pigs.
Oh, very well then. Ask your questions and let me go.
Right. Question number one. Do you know what is going on up in Evadne's room?
Well,
Roland, there are only two possible answers, yes or no. Which is it?
Well, put like that, the answer must be yes.
So far, so good. Which brings us to question number two. What is going on up in Evadne's room?
That's the tricky one. I'm afraid you'll have to ask Evadne that.
I have already asked Evadne.
And what did she say?
Tell me to mind my own business.
Then I can only suggest that is what you do.
What in heaven's name is that?
It's probably the 14th century Ascension Day dance that Peter and Mandy Moore are preparing for the church social.
My goodness, and I was going to sing an Evelyn Leigh song. Will that be all right?
Anything, Hilda, anything.
Oh, hasn't it gone quiet?
Moore!
But not for long.
Moore!
Yes, Doctor.
What happened to the rest of the coffee?
I had an accident. When you started making all that din, I dropped it. So now I'm having to make some more.
Well, do get a move on. And Hilda!
Oh, isn't she a martinet? Yes!
Hasn't Roland Quartermain arrived yet?
I'm here, Evadne, in the drawing room with Hilda. Help!
Oh, don't make such a fuss. I haven't touched you yet.
All right, we're coming down.
Now perhaps I shall find out what you're all up to.
And one can only hope you won't regret it. Evadne's only been keeping it from you because she didn't want you upset or worried or frightened.
Oh, has she? Well, now you've got me all three.
Hello, Roland.
Oh, Evadne.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
I did ask them to send you straight up, Roland, but as you no doubt realize by now, we live in a madhouse.
And there's no prize for naming the principal loony.
I really do think, Evadne, that Hilda should be made privy to our little secret.
That's just what we were saying, isn't it, Dee?
Well, you were. I wasn't.
No, but I was beginning to wear you down. You'd have come round in the end.
I might have done, and I might not. I see no point in telling Dame Hilda if it's going to scare the wits out of her.
Well, if everybody likes to make themselves comfortable, I shall now bow to a dubious majority and tell Hilda.
Now, just a minute, Evadne.
What?
Is what you are about to tell me likely to upset me or worry me or frighten me?
Very possibly.
And you really think it would scare me out of my wits, do you?
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Then I don't want to know.
Too bad.
No, you mustn't tell me. I do not want to know.
After all I've been through with you this morning, you're going to know whether you like it or not.
You can't force me to listen. I shall stick my fingers in my ears.
If you do, we'll pull them straight out again.
No. I don't really think you've anything to worry about, Hilda.
Good heavens, no.
Not a thing.
Well, I must say you lot have changed your tune. All right, Evadne, I'll be brave. Let's have it.
Well, it started a few days ago. I heard some strange noises in my room, and I thought I might have mice.
Mice? I've told you before not to eat seed cake in bed.
No, it's all right. There's actually no sign of mice. Or rats.
Rats?
There's not a sign. But then I noticed that certain objects on my mantelpiece were being moved about, or knocked over, or knocked off.
You mean stolen?
I mean I found some of them on the floor. And even after I'd totally sealed the room, this sort of thing continued. And that's when I came to the conclusion that I might, just possibly might, have a poltergeist.
A poltergeist?
No, they don't do any real harm, Hilda. And they don't usually stay very long.
They do sometimes. I knew a man who had a poltergeist, and it actually outlived him.
But that sort of thing doesn't happen very often, does it, Pete?
Oh, no, it only happened to him once.
But why would a poltergeist choose your room, Evadne? I mean, surely, sooner or later, it's going to realize what a dreadful mistake it's made and move into mine.
No, Hilda. Poltergeists tend to stick to one particular person.
Well, then you'd better move out and take the wretched thing with you.
Now, don't worry, Hilda. We'll get rid of it. I've even spoken to the vicar.
and plans are afoot.
Yes, we've rustled up all manner of high-tech ghouly scarers.
Well, you have, P. I just bought a bag full of things to bang, blow and jangle.
Yes, it might be noisy for a bit.
Apparently, Dame Hilda, poltergeists just can't live with certain noises.
Well, neither can I.
Perhaps you'd better move out.
Excuse me, Dame Hilda, but Mr. Bissett's back and he's at the kitchen door.
Oh, well, what does he want now?
He says, did you know as you've got squirrels in your attic?
Squirrels in your attic? There, I suspect, is your poltergeist, Evadne. They'll be getting in via the chimney.
I say, if I leave the video cameras running, we might get some wonderful shots.
You mean you've got video cameras up there?
Oh, yes.
Then at last, the final veil is about to be removed, and the ancient secrets of Evadne's room will be revealed.
You needn't think you'll see much. I've covered everything with dust sheets.
You know, Evadne, I think I know why those squirrels were attracted to your room.
All right, I'll buy it. Why?
Well, can't you guess, dear?
Wait for it, everybody.
Well, it's because they think you're nuts.